It is because of my supremacy
that the wind blows out of fear of me. The sun shines out of fear of me, and the Lord of the clouds, Indra, sends forth showers out of fear of me. Fire burns out of fear of me, and death goes about taking its toll out of fear of me. Purpose. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, says in Bhagavad Gita that natural laws being enacted are correct in all activities because of his superhuman death. No one should think that nature is working automatically without superhuman death. The Vedic literature says that the clouds are controlled by the demigod Indra. He is distributed by the sun god. Through the moonlight is distributed by Chandra, and the air is blowing under the arrangement of the demigod Vayu. But above all these demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Shiva living entity. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. The demigods are also ordinary living entities, but due to their faithfulness, their devotional service at altitude, they have been promoted to such posts. These different demigods or directors, such as Chandra, Varuna, and Vayu, are called Adhikari Devata. The demigods are departmental heads. The government of the Supreme Lord consists not only of one planet or two or three. There are millions of planets and millions of universes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has a huge government. He requires assistance. The demigods are considered his bodily limbs. These are the descriptions of the Vedic literature. Under these circumstances, the sun god, the moon god, the fire god, and the air god are working under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakche Aprakriti Suyate Charachara. The natural laws are being conducted under his superintendence. Because he is in the background, everything is being performed punctually and regularly. One who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely protected from all other influences. He no longer serves or is obliged to anyone else. Of course, he's not disobedient to anyone, but his full power of thought is absorbed in the service of the Lord. The statement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Kapila that under his direction air is growing, the fire is burning, and the sun is giving heat are not sentimental. The impersonalist may say that the Bhagavatam devotee create and imagine someone as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and assign qualifications to him. But actually, it is neither imagination nor an imposition of artificial power in the name of Godhead. In the Vedas it is said, Vishasmat Patapavate Vishodeti Suryaha. By fear of the Supreme Lord, the wind god, and the sun god are acting. Vishash Mahat Agnish Chendrascha Mridyo Dhavati Panchama. Agni, Indra, and Mridyu are also acting under his direction. These are the statements of the Vedas. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Uttale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devam Gaurava Dikracharine. So this father then sends him to a tree where he is told to pick a fruit. In return, the father asks, what do you have in your hands? A fruit. What else? No. Is there something inside? Is there something more? So the son cuts open the fruit and says, Father, there is the flesh of the fruit, the meat of the fruit, or the substance of the fruit. Is it all in the sea? Well, you mean there, I also see a seed. Is it all you see? The sun begins to cut open the seed, and he sees the light inside of the seed, and tells him, But the father is not satisfied and asks, is that all you see? And then he goes into an explanation, which is what those who quoted the story want to get off. He says, now let me ask you, is it all which you see? When you are trained in Upanishadic thinking, it always goes in one direction. It goes ultimately to the direction. These questions always lead to the Brahman. The father was explaining, no, I'm not. There is not only the white inside of the seed. What is there is another tree. There is another intelligence behind it, a law. When the seed is brought into the fertile ground and water is administered, a tree will emerge, which is not present, which is not visible, but which is at the same time present. So in the same way, the Chandogya Upanishad informs us, Brahman is present everywhere. There is a supreme reality behind the variegatedness. That's the law the physicists are searching for. Now, we in this verse of the Bhagavatam are not satisfied with this explanation. It doesn't say it's because of Brahman that the wind blows, because of Brahman that the sun shines. But much me is used. The speaker is Krishna, or is Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Kapila. He said, the statements by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Kapila, that under his direction the air is flowing, the fire is burning, and the sun is giving heat, are not sentimental. So, behind the occurrences of natural phenomena, the ultimate source, from whom all other laws, sources, phenomena are coming, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you go to the western traffic, you will see how it is ruled by traffic lights. I suppose these traffic lights might by now also have their appearance in Delhi and other cities, but other than these. What a fortune. The blissful chaos goes on, and not so many accidents. Anyways, When you go to a town where the traffic is guided by traffic lights, the ultimate source behind it is, of course, a personal city government or traffic people who are in charge of the traffic. Only a child, a very naive fool, will presume that the light is going around the person or something. There are people who talk about the Green Bay, for instance. Like, you drive at a certain speed, say 60 kilometers an hour, you will always have green light because we have literature. Traffic lights will all go on green that you can go at speed. So there is some intelligence behind it. And ultimately, mercies. And a very arrogant fool would think that the light turns green. Ah, it's because of me, because I am standing before the traffic light. It turns green. There are, in modern psychology, there is a department of this personal obsession where people actually think when they come to a traffic light and it turns green, it is because they gloriously made their appearance before the traffic light. That is happening. You will be surprised, but it is going on. Because I'm such a blissful person, it happens. Anyways, but of course the story is not enough to illustrate that not an impersonal Brahman is behind the workings of nature, but a personal reality. Now, to bring that point closer than just a story, we would have to go in very complicated terms of modern thought, but we don't want to do this because obviously this is not the audience for this kind of dry thing. So, here the Vedic scriptures say, Krishna is the Supreme. The supreme intelligence behind everything, the part of Brahman, to speak in Vedic language, behind everything, the supreme seed giver, who inspires many energies, directing the workings of material nature, that is Krishna. And he has his governmental people who work under him, the different demigods under whose control the material nature works. Just like any ordinary government, and a temple also is run by making different departments and installing different departmental heads. This universal government or universal existence is also governed in the same way. But the supreme ruler, controller behind it, is Ekalaish Pada Krishna, Ada Sabhavitya. Eka, he's one, he's the supreme personality of God, and everyone is his servant. And in fact, dances according to his flute. So, in religion, this question of fear appears. It is because of out of fear that things are going on. It appeared very often in the medieval religion, where people were told, if you don't follow a rule set up by God, you will be smothered in eternal hell. This fear principle is also prominent sometimes amongst those who approach a spiritual path, and even those who come to Krishna consciousness. As a preacher, the preachers know that many people who become conversant with the idea of karma, they become afraid that due to their previous activities, they will be punished severely. It often happens in preaching programs that when we show these wonderful pictures of Yadunani, where someone who engages in illicit relationships with other humans, with other people, women, men, he becomes a tree, and someone who eats indiscriminately, he becomes a stool-eating swine. These pictures, especially when they are with the vision effect projected on a large screen, sometimes they make fear into the, give fear into the hearts of people, and then out of fear people surrender. I know that many persons I have preached to, they understood at one point, well, I have done so many acts which bring such bad karma, better I surrender now. This is that, out of fear. And in Germany, we have a shloka that runs like this. Im Schützgraben gibt es keine Atheisten. It's a pretty cool British little German after so long. It means, in the war trench, you know where people dig this ditch in order to shoot from a protected area, there are no atheists, because people are so much afraid to be killed that they begin to shout Mamma Mia and surrender. This is out of fear. A few months ago, our preaching party had a personal realization when we preached in the civilian war in it started as a civilian war and became a real slaughter in Yugoslavia. We had a preaching program arranged in a hall next to the state ministry, and we were warned to not hold it because just one day before that particular part of Yugoslavia had declared independence from the rest of the nation, and the national army was now going to march in and reclaim that country, or this part of it, a bed by military force. So, but we had, it was such a nice program, such a nice place, and the Yugoslavians are just the Bengalis of Europe, very nice creatures, so we couldn't control our senses, and went nevertheless. Then, as we approached it from helicopters, soldiers of the National Army were shooting at us. Just 1 meter next to the Vajrayudhis who brought the pots of prasada, the bullets were destroying the road, and soon bombs began to detonate just outside the program place. So we, the devotees who were on the stage, had arrived a little earlier, and we just heard the bombs detonating just next to it, because they wanted to overtake the state ministry. So I immediately told them, I immediately went behind the stage, But then I decided, well, if I'm going to die, it's much better to die in a kirtan at the end of the stage and start it. And it was purely out of fear that the kirtan was going. So after some time, we became a little confident by the wonderful atmosphere created by the holy name, and we began to also give the lecture and finish the program with a huge kirtan that invited everyone. So they also chanted then, also out of fear, they were dancing up and down. So this is a little illustration for the sensational hungry mind, for a very intense spiritual point which I think every one of us will have to address, approaching God out of fear. He is behind everything, but we should not, and he is behind karma, but ultimately this out of fear business is not the mood of Krishna consciousness. Someone who comes to better his situation and just remains on this level because he fears all the material world is so nasty, so dangerous, who knows what will happen, I better surrender. If that remains, or if that is the motivation, that is not what we are aiming at. In Krishna consciousness, we want to develop bhakti, that is love, and out of love, we want to be motivated and we want to act. Out of love, we want to be motivated. Now, the interesting thing is that also the departmental heads of the universe, Chandra, Varuna, and Vayu, the Adhikari Devata, are ultimately devotees. Prabhupada said, due to their faithfulness, their devotional service attitude, they have been promoted to such posts. See, in the shloka it said that out of fear they do their activities, but there is also devotion there. They are mixed devotees. Sometimes they do it out of fear when they do mistakes, but sometimes also out of love. And to come to this chapter, we want to tell you a little leela which explains how Varuna came to Krishna or wanted to see Krishna out of love, how he is devoting. This is a very nice leela which will lead to a very interesting point. Now, once Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, desired to break his fast at Dwadasi and therefore entered the waters of the Yamuna before dawn. Now, because technically there were only a few minutes left before the Ekadasi would go into the Dwadasi, and because he had to break it at the beginning, beginning of the Odyssey, technically, it was a very awkward time. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning. So he went into the rivers of the Yamuna water at Nandaghat. Technically, it was a very awkward time. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning. So he went into the rivers of the Yamuna water at Nandaghat. You can visit the place and see it. So one Asura servant of Varuna, who didn't know about all these technicalities of, you know, at fish time, the Ekadasi turns into the Dvadasi and then to break the fast. He took him and brought him before Varuna's court. The Bhagavatam says Asura servant. But that was all, it was for Varuna's plan to be quite blunt. So when the cowherds who associated or who came with Nanda Baba saw that, they called out, Rama, Krishna, Rama, Krishna. But Varuna, sorry, Nanda Maharaj did not come out of the waters of the Yamuna. Now we once had this happening when we took a trip at the Mahat in the Yamuna. One of our artistically minded devotees had made a dove into the Yamuna in Keshiyat. That time it was very deep. And he bit with his head on the tortoise, a huge tortoise, and he lost his consciousness from there. It didn't come out. His chest was empty of air, there was no air, and he didn't come out, so he began to die for him. We were so full of anxiety, you can just imagine the cowards that came in, not coming out of the Yamuna. And he couldn't come out, because the servant brought him onto the planet where Varuna is sitting, on the ocean planet. Now, Rama and Krishna, that means Balaram and Krishna, or Krishna Balaram, they heard, of course, they heard this shouting of the cowherds, and they went right to Varuna to bring back their father. Now, in Krishna, this is an interesting detail. When Krishna arrived at the city of Varuna, he glanced with an angry, fierce eyes onto the walls surrounding the city, and he burned the walls into ashes. So Varuna knew, I have trouble. Supreme Personality of Godhead, my Master, came. He wanted that. He had arranged that the servant would steal under Baba just to see Krishna. When Krishna entered his court here, Varuna greeted him and said, my body is now where I see you perfect. Those who accept your lotus feet can transcend the path of material existence. And as Nanda Maharaj looked on with eyes full of wonder, he was seated on a jeweled throne and was worshipped, and he saw how his son Krishna was worshipped by Varuna. Now Nanda Maharaj did not consider actually that Krishna, his son, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He loved Krishna as his little boy, and sometimes asked him to carry his shoes for him. So sometimes Krishna would take his finger and, you know, support himself as the finger of Nanda Maharaj was just stumbling over the courtyard. Nanda Maharaj's eyes at that time would come full of tears. So when he saw that his little boy was worshipped by Varuna with his arti, he was very much amazed. So, then, to make a long lila short, Krishna brought Nanda Maharaj back to the banks of the Yamuna, and Nanda Maharaj told the cowherd boys, the cowherd man, what he had just seen. The little boy Krishna was taken by the presiding deity of the god of Varuna himself, and he was worshipped in an arati. So the cowherd man immediately thought, well, then he is God. And they wondered, we are all the time associating with him. What will be our destination? Where will we go after this? And to show them, Krishna brought them to Brahmakrala. That's a place where, just in this direction, so to say, near Akrura. It's actually Akrura, guys. It's identical. It's where Akrura saw Mahavishnu. So, and he submerged them in the water and lifted them up out of the water and showed them that Goloka Vrindavan. Now, if we want to understand the Leela as it is, we have to bring out a hidden secret. First, the cowherd man saw a dazzling white light. The Brahma Jyoti text, the Brahma and the text, Sanskrit text of the Bhagavata. And then, from within the light, they saw the Brahma Loka, it says, the planet of Brahma, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. And in this way, Krishna showed them that his planet, which would be the destination of these cowherd men, was beyond even Brahma, was the para, he was the para Brahma. He was showing that to them. Now the Gaga Samhita tells of a leela within the leela, which for our this morning's discussion, approaching God out of fear, is of great importance. What Krishna also told them, showed them, is a form which had thousands of arms, crown, a forest garden, conch shell, disc, club. They saw Mahavishnu surrounded by the Kriya Shakti, the Ila Shakti, all the different opulences. They saw an overwhelming, the overwhelming aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they saw that, they became afraid. Imagine all of a sudden, you see, you will see Ananta Shesha with the thousands of heads. Seeing the glories of the Lord, you will see a multi-dimensional form of the Supreme. You will be extremely overcome by the greatness of that vision. So, then this Mahavishnu told them, don't speak, you forest people. The Supreme Personality of Godhead stands in your will. They all looked at Krishna, they understood that Krishna is the source of Mahavishnu, and he had appeared as a lovable little child that became very happy. Wonderful. We don't like this vision. Here Krishna is up and we are down. No, we like Raj, where Krishna is with us, bare feet, in the Ramadrake sand, in the sand, playing around, herding the cows. And they took shelter in that loving mood which is here, Raj. He Here in Vrindavan, we can learn something about bhakti. We can learn it from the dust, we can learn it from the trees, we can learn it from the bees, because everything here exists out of love. Even the tree chant, Radhe, Radhe. So, Radha, the Vajalila, it is there, the ideal place to execute Krishna consciousness is Brajabhumi of Vrindavan. Where the people are naturally inclined to love Krishna, not fear, love Krishna, and Krishna is naturally inclined to love them. Now, an important point here is a question. Why have we come? Why are we here? One devotee once asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what is the advantage of going to India, to Vrindavan? Srila Prabhupada answered, please hear this answer, to get impetus to go back home, back to Godhead. To come to Australia, to get impetus to go to hell. We have come to Vrindavan to investigate our motives, to come to the point of loving Krishna. In that love of Krishna, when we come to that love of Krishna, then we will come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Everyone should ask himself, what is my relationship to Krishna, to the person Krishna? Please don't think that all this I should not consider this point. No! Practice now being part of Krishna's family. Because this is a statement which will go through the censorship of our senior devotees. We will carefully substantiate that. This Krishna consciousness movement, said Prabhupada in the lecture, 1975, is giving you a glimpse of the spiritual world. You know, like the people of Raj got a glimpse of the Loka planet. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving you a glimpse of the spiritual world. How the inhabitants are perpetually enjoying blissful life in full knowledge. If we are fortunate, we shall aspire to enter into the spiritual world. Bhaktivinoda said, if you want to enter into this association of the spiritual world, then practice here, being part of Krishna's family. Just like here, we are trying to be family members of Krishna. Here is Krishna sitting on the throne. He is the enjoyer. We are trying to serve him, so that he may very nicely enjoy. This is called Krishna's family. Krishna is in the center. Just like in an ordinary family, the headman is there, and his wife, children, servants, other friends and associates, even cats, dogs, and other animals are serving the center point, the master. So, I jump ahead. Krishna family does not mean starvation. Krishna family means simply to enjoy minus material contamination. Krishna is a supreme pure. Therefore, if you want to enter into Krishna's family, then you have to become also completely pure. Otherwise, there is no chance. As soon as you think in the bodily concept of life, then you remain impure. Simply think, I am the servant of the servant of Krishna, and you will remain pure. So, this is a very nice point. This being afraid of God is a criminal mentality. When you see people see the police guard, they react differently. They understand, the police is everywhere. Uncle Sam is watching you. Posters like this is the best of the world. And how the long arm of the law is called the law. They say like this. So they become afraid. They fight. The police guard starts coming, or policemen go very innocent. That's for the criminals. They become fearful. So those who have a fearful mentality, they are not up to the level of Krishna consciousness. They have not understood Krishna as the supreme lovable person who waits for us. But let us we have to follow this, let us purify us in order to practice being part of the family of Krishna. We wanted to show that in the little drama which we showed. There was one sentimental person here, oh Krishna, you are everywhere, behind the bush, behind the trees. And then a monkey came and stole the lunch packet. And he said, oh monkey, you rascal, and all of a sudden he thought, monkeys everywhere, she saw monkeys everywhere, so on and so forth. If our mind, if we are not akinchana, if we have not given up the false possession of the body and mind, which is not our own self, then love of Krishna will not be possible for us. For that, we have to purify the five bodily senses by active service. Engage the tongue, take prasada, speaking about Krishna. Engage the eyes, having darshan. Engage the then slowly, we will be purified. But we should practice with an attentive mind. Here are pigeons in the temple. They also see the deity, smell the aroma of the flowers, and so on and so forth. But they pass a stool on the Bhagavata. No problem for them, as Kelly said. They just do it. Because their mind, is actually not present, the developed mind, is not there. We must practice with an attentive mind. Then we will be faster purified than if we do not desire to be purified and do not have our mind in this service. So there are many prayers by our realized acharyas. There's many prayers for the mind. It says, my dear Lord, the calf of my mind, this is a Rupa Goswami prayer, has wandered from the stream of your blissful pastimes. Now please take your stick and dry the calf of my mind back to the stream of your wonderful pastimes. Very important. Oh, I have fallen into a deep dark well. Now please, lower the rope of your devotional service so that I can climb out. Oh, Vajahurevana, my dear Lord, my mind, let it be engaged in your service. In Vrindavan we should pray that our mind will not be infected again by Maya when we lead to our respective service. Now, this morning I understand there is a discussion about the marathon, upcoming marathon for the Vrindavan devotees who will go on different sankirtan missions, and also those who are from the West, their mind is getting back into action, into the marathon. Let us pray danger that our mind will remain will not wander away like a calf that died in the desert of mental depression, forgetfulness of Krishna, and so on and so forth. Let us bring the spirit of Vrindavan with us. Very important. This is important for anyone who wants to practice living in Krishna's family. Prabhupada once criticized his devotees. He said, my only criticism of the devotee of you is you are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Maya means it enters the mind. So let us understand these points. So all at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, engage us so that let us pray that we are able to engage our senses in the service with full concentration of mind, and in this way make our lives glorious. Once Prabhupada, he ended the festival, he said, so how did you like this festival? Very much, very much, very much. Was it Mayapur? No, it wasn't Vrindavan. At that time we had first Mayapur festival, Prabhupada was there for the lecture. So he assembled devotees from all parts of the world, and then he went to Vrindavan to continue lecturing to us there. It was here at the Vyasasan. Yes, Prabhupada said, how did you like it? How did you like Vrindavan? That was the accept. He of course would say, for the exclamations of appreciation. And the Prabhupada said, now it is your duty to bring the Dharma to the best of the world. So let us also understand those who are here, because many devotees still left. Then we go to the best, let us jump into the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There the Lord will protect us the most. He will take care of the preacher that fall down. And otherwise, let's run to Vrindavan like Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur advises us so intensely.
So, Hare Krishna, these points were not difficult. They were easy. We will not take any questions here because we are there too late. It is 5 to 9. We will end here by explaining.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Govinda ki jai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram.